I didn't see any adults leaving. That's good. Dave Evans. Take your Bibles and let's turn to Ephesians chapter 3. We're working our way through the book of Ephesians, and we started the prayer last week. The prayer that said, "For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, four things: that you would be strengthened with power through his Spirit in the inner person. Number two, that Christ might dwell in your hearts by faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth. Number three, that you might comprehend again the love of Christ and demonstrate it in relationship with others. And number four, that we may be filled up to all the fullness of God." What an incredible prayer. That is his prayer for each one of us. Perhaps we are convinced that through our position in Christ, we are heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. We know it intellectually. Objectively, we are conscious of this fact. Doctrinally, we may be on board with it. But our great problem is how to live like heirs of Christ. In chapter 1, verse 3, he said, "Blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we would be holy and blameless before him in love." We know what we are. We know how difficult it is to be what we know. John MacArthur put it this way. A rich English eccentric named Julian Ellis Morris dressed like a tramp, and he went door to door selling razor blades and soap and shampoo. After a day's work, he would return home to his beautiful mansion and put on formal attire and have his chauffeur drive him out to an exclusive restaurant in his limousine. Sometimes he'd even get on the airplane and fly across the channel to Paris and spend the evening there. Many Christians live something like Mr. Morris, spending our lives day to day in apparent spiritual poverty and only occasionally enjoying the vast riches of the glory of our Heavenly Father. How tragic to go around in tattered rags when we could be living sumptuously in the superabundance of God's unspeakable riches. What is your need today? What is my need today? I'm just guessing, but perhaps one of our needs is to overcome temptation. Perhaps it's needing strength to resist temptation, to be victorious to the glory of God. Perhaps it's making a tough moral choice at home or at work. We need strength to do the right thing so that Jesus, whom we serve, will be honored by our daily lives. Is it witnessing? Are there people that we know that need Jesus and we just are timid about sharing Christ? He has given us the power to share Christ with other people. Don't be timid. The power comes when you start sharing your faith. When you start sharing the Word of God, He's promised to give us the power in that very moment. We need strength to seek the truth in love, regardless of what the world may think of us. When Jesus prayed for God to send the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, to be with his disciples, it was chiefly in mind that we would have power to share Christ with other people, that we would be able to lead them to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus. Is your greatest need prayer? Is it the courage to just sit down, take the time to read the Word of God? Is it consciously understanding how great our God is and what He has in store for us? It is important to understand that God does not provide His power for us to misappropriate His riches for our own selfish purposes. He provides His power to accomplish His purposes through our lives. In 1934, I won't ask how many of you were born before 1934. I know there are a couple or three or five that are here this morning that probably were. You're the age of my parents. My dad, born in 1927. Well, in 1934, Adolf Hitler summoned German church leaders to his Berlin office to berate them for insufficiently supporting his programs. And he was surprised when a pastor named Richard Niemöller stood up to him and told him no, he wouldn't support his programs. That evening, Niemöller's home was raided. A few days later, a bomb exploded in his church. He was arrested. He was placed in solitary confinement. Niemöller's trial began on February 7th, 1938, 4 years in prison, just waiting for trial. That morning, a Nazi-uniformed guard escorted the pastor from his prison cell through a series of underground passages toward the courtroom. Niemöller was overcome with terror and loneliness. What would become of him? But he's not thinking so much of that. He's thinking about his family. He's thinking about what will become of my church family. Well, the guard took him through the tunnels. The guard's face was impassive, but as they exited a tunnel to ascend a final flight of stairs up to the trial, he heard a soft sigh in his ear. And then he realized that the officer was breathing into his ear the words of Proverbs 18:10. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run to it and are safe. A German guard whispering the word of God into the ears of a pastor. Should have been the other way around, shouldn't it? Well, it wasn't. Hearing the word of God, Niemöller, his fear fell away, and the power of that verse sustained him for the next 7 years as he was in a Nazi concentration camp. Niemöller is the one who wrote this. First they came for the socialists, and I did not speak out because I wasn't a socialist. Then they came for the trade unionists, and I didn't speak out because I was not in the trade union. Then they came for the Jews, and I did not speak out because I was not a Jew. Then they came for me, and there was no one left to speak. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. What an incredible verse. Probably the verse that I quote more than any other. For anybody that's paying attention when I'm praying, some of you may listen actually, you may know what I'm quoting, but I quote this often. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly beyond all that we can ask or even think, according to the power that works within us. To him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. My late wife, her name was Hope. Hope's favorite Bible was the Amplified. She read lots of different versions. She read through the Bible many times, but Amplified was her favorite. This is what the Amplified says. Now to him who, by, in consequence of, the actions of his power that is at work within us, is able to carry out his purpose and do super abundantly far over and above all that we dare ask or think, infinitely beyond our highest prayers, desires, thoughts, hopes, or dreams. I like that translation. Now to him begins another Pauline doxology, a liturgical formula of praise to God. Paul is praising God throughout Ephesians. It's addressed to the Father. We saw that in verse 14, to whom the prayer and the prayer in chapter 1 was, or chapter 2, the previous prayer was addressed. He is able. Able is in the present tense, emphasizing that God is continually able. He's not a part-time God, but is ever ready and able to come to our aid and upon our appeal. Just ask. He's listening. He's hearing. How come we're so reluctant just to pray? When we have a day of prayer nationally, a few people showed up in Hawkins to the city hall and prayed with us. How many people came to the church to pray? I don't think anybody did. That's okay. If you're praying at home, that's fine. Praying in your cars, that's good. Remember Hebrews chapter 2, verse 18. For since he himself, Jesus, was tempted in that which he suffered, he is able to come to the aid of those who are tempted. One author put it this way, when the Holy Spirit has empowered us, when Christ has indwelt us, when love has mastered us, when God has filled us with his own fullness, then he is able to do exceeding abundantly beyond all that we can ask or think. Until these conditions are met, God's working in us is limited. When these conditions are met, his working in us is unlimited. How do we know? What did Jesus say? Would Jesus agree with that? Absolutely. Jesus said in John chapter 14, truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he shall do also. The greater works than these shall he do, because I go to the Father. And whatever you ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son, if you ask anything in my name, I will do it. Kenneth Wiest, a Moody Bible Institute professor, adds that the compound word far more abundantly, the Greek word is this long, I won't try to pronounce it, is a superlative of superlatives in force. It speaks of the ability of God to do something, that ability having more than enough potential power, power that is exhaustless, and then some on top of that. Thus, Paul says that God is able to do super abundantly above and beyond what we ask or think, and then some on top of all of that. One author said these two verses can be broken down into seven unique thoughts. He is able, number one, to do or to work. God is alive. God is not dead. God is active. He's waiting to hear from us. Point number two, he's able to do what we ask. It's one thing to ask somebody for something, but if you're asking someone that can't help you, then you're just wasting your time. But we're asking of a God who can, literally. hear us, and answer. In Hebrews 4:16, it says, "Therefore, let us draw near with confidence to the throne of grace, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need." Ask, if we will ask. Now, I'm not talking about bowing the knee like we did last week. Some of us, it's tough to bow the knee because when you get down on your knees, you got to get back up. I'm that way. It's not that I'm in pain. It's just that my left leg doesn't work. That's trouble. How do you get up with one leg? Well, I can do it. Obviously, I do, but it's not easy. Number three, he's able to do what we ask or think, for he reads our thoughts. And sometimes he even reads our imaginations. And sometimes he even hears our prayers. He even hears our tears. Who in Scripture cried in a church, chapel, synagogue, and was just weeping? And God heard her weeping and answered Hannah's prayer for a son. She really wasn't expressing her thoughts at all. She was just weeping. God knows. He hears. He is able. He knows our thoughts. Number four, he's able to do all that we ask or think, for he knows what we think, and he can perform it all. It's nothing to him. He can do it. If, Jesus said, you ask anything in my name, I will do it. Number five, he is able to do more than all that we can ask or think, for his expectations are higher than ours. Do you think? You know, we kind of set our, and God's thinking, my word, why aren't you asking about other stuff? So much greater, so much higher. He is able to do more than all that we ask or think, for his expectations are higher than ours. So ask. Who knows what wonderful, unexpected things God will do for us? Number six, he is able to do much more, more abundantly than all that we ask or think, because God is not stingy. He's not stingy. Remember the Sermon on the Mount? Ask, seek, knock. If a father has a son that asks for a fish, will he give him a stone? No. God is not stingy. Number seven, he is able to do very much more, far more abundantly than all that we can ask or think, because he is a God of super abundance. Expositor's Bible Commentary puts it this way. I know you just love commentaries. All of you read them all the time, right? Well, no, I do that for you. Sometimes I remind you what they say. Expositors, God's capacity to meet his people's spiritual needs far exceeds anything they can either request in prayer or conceive by way of anticipation. It is actualized through his dynamite, his dynamis is the Greek word, his power, which continually operates, and that's the word that we get energy from, energizes us within the lives of believers. God has the power. He has the energy to use in us to do far more, far greater than anything we could ask or even think. Most of you know Philippians chapter 4, beginning in verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Let your gentle spirit or moderation be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And then God won't do anything. God will plug his ears and just say, well, good luck. Hope it all works out for you. No. Philippians 4:7 says, and the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. I don't very often quote poems, but let me give you a poem today, okay? It's titled, According to the Power. If our scanty measure were used, how poor were the gifts of the Lord. If our cups of thought and our pitchers of prayer were all that his love could afford. But above all our stammering tongues, can voice of our deepest desire, abundant above all the pitiful good to which our small minds can aspire. Exceeding abundant above the reach of our groveling thought. So great is the fullness of his knowledge and grace, his power to usward has wrought. Some of you know C.S. Lewis Johnson, Believer's Chapel in Dallas. Many of you listen to him regularly. Some of you attended his church. Here's what he said on this passage. My dear Christian friends, do you know that right at this moment, when you feel so lethargic, when you say, when is Dr. Johnson gonna end this boring sermon? I'm just checking on a couple of you. All right. Well, in 2 minutes from now, when you say the word of God can sometimes be so boring, and when you berate yourself for not being as responsive as you ought to be, the Holy Spirit is working constantly in your heart. He works in every believer. He works toward the sanctification of every one of us. And Johnson says, let me tell you this, he will accomplish his work. You're going to be like Christ someday. It may be a great earth-shaking transformation when it occurs for some of us, but it's going to happen. We are going to be like Jesus, exceeding abundantly. Real quickly, in Scripture, who ended up praying for something and getting something exceedingly greater? Can you think of anybody? It wasn't Adam and Eve, because they were naughty. And they got a whole lot less. They got kicked out of paradise for their sin. Although we better not try Noah, because that didn't work out very well, because the entire world was turned upside down and transformed in a negative way. Only his family saved. How about going to Abraham? Abraham said, God, come on. She's 80 years old. She can't have a baby. God, how about Hagar? How about her teenage servant girl? That sounds like a better deal to me. And God just let it all play out. It didn't go well. We now have Arabs and Jews fighting each other all over the world. 3,000-4,000 years later, that didn't go very well. Well, God just hung around and waited till Sarah was 90. And he said, okay, it's time. You can have Isaac now. God did exceeding abundantly beyond all Abraham and Sarah could even ask or think. God granted him that. He gave him Isaac. He gave him all of the covenant blessings. Abraham didn't know, didn't expect it. He believed God, but he didn't really understand it all. What about David? In Psalm 21, verse 4, David asked life from God. God gave him life, 70 years. He died at 70. But God promised through him that his sons, in fact, one of his sons, we obviously know it says it's Jesus, will be reigning forever from the throne of David. Incredible. What about the man sick with palsy? And they cut a little hole in the roof and they lower the guy down in front of Jesus. What did the man want from Jesus? He wanted physical healing. Did Jesus give him physical healing? Yes, but did he give him more than that? Absolutely. What did Jesus say? The first thing Jesus said to him, your sins are forgiven. What could a young man do that his sins would need to be forgiven? Where are you? Oh, most of our young men went out, not all of them. Don't point your finger at me. But this young man lowered down through, he must have done something naughty to end up paralyzed. Jesus said, your sins are forgiven. He gave him so much more than this man could ever ask or even think. What about the dying thief on the cross? He just asked Jesus to remember him. And Jesus said, today you will be with me in paradise. Forget all this pain and suffering. Let it go. It's going to be so much more glorious and wonderful. It happened. What about the prodigal son? He said, I'm not worthy to be called your son. Treat me as one of your hired servants. And his father said, okay, go feed the pigs. No, his father didn't say that. His father said, bring the best robe, put it on him, put a ring on his hand, sandals on his feet, kill the fatted calf, and let's rejoice. Spurgeon says, once you get into the position of an asker, you shall have what you never asked for and never thought to receive. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. Let's bow together in prayer. Heavenly Father, we're cowards. We just don't trust you. We just don't really believe it. We don't know what to ask for. And then we're ashamed of what we want to ask for and maybe confused about it. But you know our very thoughts. You know the desires of our hearts. You just say, ask. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and ask, pray. May it be true of each one of us right now, silently, just for a moment. Hear our prayers, Father, as we ask for those things that are on our hearts. Please hear. Father, I thank you for what Jesus said. Ask and it shall be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. If you then, being evil, Jesus said, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give what is good to those who ask? Father, we just don't ask enough. Give us the courage to ask you. And Father, in your grace, may we see abundant answers, surprising answers to our prayers, because you are such a wonderful God. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.